You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you again on another Saturday afternoon, and we greet and welcome you to this outreach ministry of Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And this is the church that Pastor Donna and I, she's sitting across the desk from me, that we've been pastoring and been leading as best of our ability that God shows us. And it's going to soon be 22 years, Pastor Donna, we've had this church here in Stewart.
Miraculous.
So we're honored to be here with you, and we hope you can stay tuned in for the entire program. As we mentioned, you know, we're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1, and we're raising the standard, as you heard the intro when we came on, and we trust that you'll have ears to hear what the Spirit of God Amen. Is going to say to you today about these things that we're going to discuss a little bit here. And so we're honored to be here with you, and we just thank God for the privilege to be on the radio program here in Stewart, but also it goes all up and down the Treasure Coast. It goes over to Okeechobee. I've had people call from down in Fort Lauderdale and even above up the coast here, even further, you know, and it just pops in from time to time. And even in Fort Lauderdale, we've been down there many times, and in the car, you can pick it up loud and clear down there in Fort Lauderdale. And so we hope you all have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to you, as I said a moment ago, and be tuned in with God here this morning, what He'd have you
Amen.
To know, because He wants to change us and bring us to a greater dimension of His understanding of who He is and how much He loves us and He cares for us, and He wants us to understand His holy word that He gave us. So we praise You for that, Lord. And so we're just going to release ourselves to You right now, Lord. And we thank You for the listeners, wherever they may be. And let them be blessed with this outreach ministry of Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. So, Pastor Donna, you got some announcements you'd probably like to make?
Well,
we got new calendars
new
coming
calendars
out.
Mm-hmm. Are ready. If you'd like a new calendar, just give us a call. Or you could send us an envelope self with a stamp on it. And we would be glad to send you that. Plus, we'll send you information. One of the postcards about the upcoming Bible reading marathon.
Hallelujah.
Wow, I can't believe it, Pastor Gene.
It's almost here.
20 more days.
Yep.
Actually, 19 more days.
19 more days,
So the time is drawing near. Yes, mm-hmm. Amen. Well, I just want to say hello to everyone. I want to bless you. We're just thankful that Roscoe and Audrey are over for a visit.
From Andros Island, Bahamas, yeah.
You heard us talk about them many times. If you'd like to meet them or get to know them, you know, they would love to get to know you too, because they need more people to help them with the ministry that they have on Andros Island, and because they have a church over there called the Temple of God.
Amen.
And so we have apostle and prophet on Andros Island teaching the word of God and bringing the prophetic word to the island of in the Bahamas.
Amen.
So that's a blessing.
Thank you, Lord.
Our celebration dinner was awesome. Went well.
Sure did.
Had a great time.
Wonderful time.
And talking about the things of God. That's what we talk about, the things of God and what mm-hmm. God is wanting to do this year.
Thank you, Lord.
I want to mention that we have services here in Stewart, Florida. We have Sunday morning services at 10 a.m. And then we have prayer during the week. If you'd like to come and pray with us, we have prayer during the week. And that's at the Alliance Church here in Stewart, Florida. at 12 noon. Prayer is very important. We must pray more and more and more. And pray in the Spirit. We must pray in the Spirit. Amen. That's the language of God. Amen. So we need to... also, we have Friday night services, and that's at 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. And we take communion together. We spend that time just seeking God's presence. And we honor the Sabbath, right?
Sure do. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Because it goes from Friday evening sundown to Saturday evening sundown. That is the Sabbath day. And so we're just blessed to be here. And on Saturday, we also have classes on Saturday. We have worship arts classes, which would be consist of dance and flags and banners and things like that. And that's it in the afternoon at 2. And then we have a new teaching on boundaries. We all need to have healthy boundaries, a class on boundaries, and that's at 4 o'clock. So if you'd like to come to any of those things, just give us a call, and we'd be glad to have you. Amen?
Amen. Be wonderful, yeah.
I want to give our phone number. It's area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, one more thing, Pastor Gene.
Yes. One more thing here.
The 14th Annual Bible Reading Marathon.
That's right.
We're taking sign-ups now. So if you want to get the time you want to read...
You better call early, yeah.
Better call early.
That's right.
Because we already have people
on
the board.
That's
people already signed up to read. So you call that same number I gave you, 285-7007. And you can sign up to read for 15 minutes. You can bring your a mate. You can bring a friend. You can
or
bring
your whole family.
Whole family.
That's right.
And you can if you
or your whole church.
Your whole church.
That's right.
If you want to bring some of your Bible study, and you have say you have 5 people, 10 people, sign up. We'll just give you 2 hours.
You can read one right after another.
That's
can't
right. Behind. Just take turns, and it's an awesome thing. We do it. This is the 14th year. We'll be doing a downtown story. In Memorial Park at the Bandshell.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to read, you're going to just keep us in prayer. And, of course, sometime during that time, you'll want to come down because we're going to read the entire Bible.
Hallelujah.
That means every word, the entire Bible, from Genesis 1:1 all the way to the very end of the book of Revelation.
Thank
we're not
you,
leaving
Jesus.
It out.
Amen. That's
we're
right.
not leaving it out.
Amen.
Every last word, even to where it says, come, Lord Jesus, come.
All the thees and the yees and the thous will all be read. Hallelujah.
It yes. takes 90 hours mm-hmm. to read it, to read the entire Bible. And
thank you, Lord.
That's approximately almost, well, it's 5 days. We're going to start Wednesday at 7, so it's mm-hmm. not 5 complete days. But Wednesday at 7, we read around the clock until Sunday, around noon. We should finish around noon.
Yep.
And that's just awesome time. And that week is the beginning of the week. It's called National Bible Reading
mm-hmm.
Week. And everyone should be reading their Bible. It's interesting that National Bible Reading Week is at this time of the year, because most people start reading their Bible in January. So they say, well, I'm going to read my whole Bible. I'm going to start in January. By February, you've already missed out on several days, right? So you're already behind. Well, that can happen in anything where you make a commitment. But you wonder why we are doing it now, because we're following the Hebrew year, which is God's calendar. Pastor Gene's talked about his calendar before, God's calendar, not
right.
Pastor Gene's
not
calendar.
My calendar, but God's calendar, yes.
And it's in you might want to mention, it's in the book, that his commentary that he has on all the feasts of the Lord, including the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel, and
about Hanukkah.
Hanukkah, Purim.
Also Purim.
Not just the 7 main feasts, but several different things, and the calendar.
That's
most
right.
important, the calendar.
That's right. To
so when does the
all.
Calendar start? The calendar started when, Pastor Gene?
What we talk when
Tishri?
One month of Tishri. On the civil calendar, starts in the month of Tishri, doesn't it? And it runs for 12 months. Well, then we know in Exodus chapter 12, we've talked about this a lot, God changed the calendar. And so the beginning of the year on the spiritual calendar then was what? Starting in Nisan and running around the year.
But we are going according to the Hebrew calendar, which started 5775.
That's right.
Started at Tishri on Tishri 1.
That's right.
Which is just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Right?
We're in
or
the
so.
Month of Tishri, yeah.
And so we're now, yes, that's right. Well, we're actually right now, we're in a new month.
Yeah.
We're in Shesvan, and it's Shesvan 8. So the Jewish people start reading the Torah after Simchat Torah, which we talked about, which is rejoicing in the Torah. Why do they rejoice? They finished the Torah.
That's
they read
right.
the whole Torah,
well, five
which
books.
Is the first
yeah.
five books
from
of
beginning
the Bible.
To end, right.
The Genesis through Deuteronomy, the first five books. So they're rejoicing in that,
right.
that they read the Torah. Once again, they read all five books.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, and of course we talked about Yeshua is the Torah. And so we rejoice not only because we read the Bible, but and we understand God's word and we learn from it. Each time we open it, each time we read something from the Bible, we ask the Lord to give us to understanding and spiritual understanding not and knowledge, you know, because
mm-hmm.
he gives us that from his word.
Right.
And opens our eyes to see the truth, why he has certain, why he even puts certain laws in there. You know, there's things that are people doing now that are against God's laws, and they reap the consequences of that sin.
Disobeying God, right?
That's right, disobeying God.
Yep.
There's always a consequence, you know, either it's either good or it's bad.
That's right.
So what? This is the time that they start reading the Torah again. And so we talked about, last week, we talked about the book of Genesis. Genesis is the word bereshit. It means
in the beginning.
In the beginning,
mm-hmm.
or at the head, or at the rush.
Mm-hmm.
So a starting over again means starting over again. In the beginning, so God created. So what we've done is we've already gone by and read the first section, the Genesis, the book of Genesis, the whole book of Genesis called the bereshit, because it's all about the beginning. And so this week's Torah reading is about Noah. Interesting.
Right.
And we talk about all these generations. Just in the first six chapters, we cover 10 generations. Isn't it
sure.
interesting, Pastor
sure.
Jean?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it talks about the generations of Adam, the generations of Noah. See, all these different people have a certain generations, and of course, the first one were those 10 generations. Can you believe that?
That's right. So what Donna did with this, if you want a copy of this, we'll be glad to mail it to you.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to send a self-addressed envelope. And this is the Torah readings during the year that the Jewish people do. And we can glean a lot from this. And so what we mm-hmm. read last week was what, honey? Genesis 1:1 through 6:9. And so
that's
what
right.
you do is you read those verses every day during the week.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll keep seeing new things every time you read it. And so now this week we're going to go into something different. We're going to go from what? From Genesis 6:9 through what is it? I'm looking at my chart
here. This was this past week.
Yeah. 6:9 through 11:32.
And we'll talk a little bit about that today.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you'd like a copy of that, we'd be glad to send that to you. And it also has the parts for the prophets, or they call it the half Torah.
Mm-hmm.
And also on this paper that I will send to you, it also has a scriptures reading for the Gospels. So you can read a little bit from each one. But it's important to go back to God's calendar,
right,
and get on his calendar. So this would be the time to start reading your Bible, especially the book of Genesis, over again, and Genesis, the first five books of the Bible. And so we learned last week in our teaching that in the beginning, that it says God.
That's right.
And that God is Elohim, and it's plural. Form of God.
That's right.
And so here we have, in the beginning, we have the Godhead.
Right.
See? So we have Elohim, we have the Godhead. Third person in the Godhead, Yeshua was there with Jesus,
sure,
and the Spirit
was.
Of God was there, and it tells us what God did during that time, and God says, it says here, it's very good, it's good. Everything he did was good.
Mm-hmm.
Everything God did was good.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And so we read all through all things that happened in the garden, and you know how God gave Adam. He really put him in a protective area.
Sure did.
We talk about, you know, being, you live in a protected area. Some people live in a place where they have, no one can get in unless the gate opens, right? Or they have a fence around their house. So you have a protected area, but you always have a way of getting in and getting out. Well, you know, from my understanding of reading this time, I realized that God made Adam before he made the garden, before the garden. So then he placed him in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he made him outside the garden. He placed him in the garden. And of course, then Adam named all the animals, and there, you know, there wasn't a mate for Adam. And of course, we know that God took, King James says it took a rib, but you know, if you read the Hebrew, it says it took His side. Adam's side.
Yeah.
I think, wow, that gives you a little bit different perspective, doesn't it?
Sure does.
So, you know, he took his side. And that, to me, that means like, you know, I'm going to just split you down the middle and take that side and make...
It shows me that if it was his side that was taken out, they're supposed to walk beside one another.
That's key. They're supposed to walk beside one another.
Compliment one another.
And that's right, because he said that she was a helpmeet,
helpmate.
Mm-hmm. So we're a help, where we work alongside with our husband. And, of course, he has a function, and the wife has a function.
Absolutely.
And so... because of their disobedience, you see, and everybody blames Eve or the snake,
yeah,
you know, for what happened in the garden, because here they are in this perfect place. God gives them only one commandment, just one commandment.
And they couldn't keep
not
that.
Not 100, not
That's
600,
right.
One commandment, not 10 commandments, just one. And they couldn't keep one commandment.
They failed.
That shows
they?
Us that we need Yeshua, because he paid the price. And we need the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the Bible says, will lead us into all truth. So here we have, you know, if you read it really closely, you'll see that Adam was right there with his wife when she ate this fruit.
That's right.
And then she gave it to him.
He never even questioned it.
And you know, God had given him authority. And
that's
so
right.
What did he do? He didn't. He gave up his authority. He gave up his authority, and he... it sounded good to him, so he just followed what his wife said.
That's right.
Well, we need to have wisdom. We need to follow what God says, not what other people say.
Amen.
Well, you could say, well, that was his wife. Well, what if there's... Of course, there was only one other person in the world at that time.
Right.
So, of course, it was his mate, you know. But what if you have 10 people around? You better follow what God says, not what 10 other people may be trying to tell you to do.
Right.
Amen?
So he relinquished his authority that he had.
He gave it up.
He gave it to her and listened to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And he got in trouble, didn't he?
That's right. And so, and of course, it shows us, too, how easily the serpent can come into your territory.
That's right.
Because that territory, that garden, was theirs. Now, there was an angel at the time to keep them out of the garden.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't want to go out of the garden if I were them, you know. But, you know, some people get curious. And they might get tired of being in that garden and want to go out. But there wasn't a flaming sword to keep them in the garden. See, that they had a choice. God always gave his people a free choice. But he didn't have something to keep that serpent from coming into the garden. But it was there. They were given authority over everything in the garden. And so they didn't take that authority and use it and, you know, get rid of that serpent, get rid of the devil, tell him to go, get behind me. Well, maybe they didn't know a lot about the devil at that time. I don't know. But they did know that that tree was for good, was good and bad. So they when they ate of that tree, then they knew that they were no longer, that they were uncovered. See, the glory of God left them. They knew that they were naked, and they tried to hide from God. They tried to cover themselves with leaves.
Yeah.
Even, what kind of leaves?
Fig leaves.
Even fig leaves.
They don't cover sin, does it?
And that means something. And to know where that garden was right there in Jerusalem, right there where we're going to find out later that... Abraham went to take his son to sacrifice, same place, at the Rosh. What's it called? The Rosh is the head. See, Bereshit, or the word Genesis, means the head. So everything began in that place. And so as we see, everything began over in Israel, in Jerusalem, everything's going to end in that place.
That's right.
So God always shows us the end from the beginning, which you always talk about. And that's why we need to know what it says in the beginning, because God gives us directions, and if we don't follow the directions, then we suffer loss, don't we?
Amen.
So here we have this, and so even in chapter 5 it talks about, this is a book of the generations of Adam. So it shows us here there was generations of Adam, and we even see the first blood sacrifice in this book.
That's right.
I mean, there's so much just in these first 4, 5, 6 chapters.
And the first murder also.
And the first murder.
Yeah.
In the car.
Over a religious sacrifice or offering, you know.
The first murder. Well, they were already cast out of the garden when that had happened.
That's right.
So then they have to, God puts them out of that perfect place. And see, he had to put, he didn't destroy the garden. Otherwise, he wouldn't have had to put the angels there, or what they call
them. Cherubim.
Cherubim
the
there.
With a flaming sword.
With the flaming sword that turned each way. And
that's
it's interesting, you know. So the garden was still there. I believe the garden was still there until the flood. And also, so this, and it was at the East Gate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you see, as you're reading through your Bible, you're going to see things in the beginning that's going to make you think of things that you read maybe in the New Testament. So, East Gate. When I read that East Gate, the flaming sword was at the East Gate. Why was it at the East? And why was there a gate? You know, God, because there, you can come, you can go in and out when there's a, when there's an opening or a gate or a door.
Yeah.
You know, and last year was the year of the door. Well, mm-hmm. I believe it still follows up till the end of this year, but now we're in the year of the window. See, God's given us a window of time, and a window's not as big as a door, but the breath of God can go through a window as well. So we need to stay looking in that window, like be like Daniel and be praying more and more. I think God's going to show us more about Daniel. But the east reminds me of what the gate, the east gate now has been blocked. Because the prophecy says that Yeshua will come through the east gate, because he's going to go to the Rosh. He's going to go to this same mountain right. where they were at.
There wasn't a gate in the garden, but he put them in the east. That's where he put them, didn't he?
So this in the east gate is closed, isn't it?
Right.
It's blocked up right now. So, yes, it does say east.
Yeah, chapter 3, verse 24 says in Genesis, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. He could not let them go back in.
So there must have been a way to get in somewhere at the east.
That's
right. It reminds me of the east gate in Jerusalem, where in that east gate you can actually see it. Where there was an east gate, it's blocked up because the prophecy says that Yeshua will go through that gate. And he will. Well, somebody thinks that they can keep him out by blocking it up. Well, that's not going to happen. But this, what he just read, these cherubims with this flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. See, it had to protect the tree of life, because if they went back in and ate from that tree,
or even touched it,
if they went back and ate from that tree, they would live forever
in sin, in a sinful state.
In a sinful state.
That's right.
And so they were not to eat of that tree. So God had to put them out of the garden, out into where they're, you know, where things were really tough.
That's right.
Life is tough. That's People right. say, well, life is tough. Well, I guess we can talk to Adam and Eve when we see them.
Yeah.
But yes, life is tough, but we have better promises. Praise God. We have better promises.
Sure
wow.
do.
Thank you, Lord God. Because he even warned them. You know, he warned them. If thou doest well, he told this to Cain before he killed his brother.
That's right.
Well, couldn't God say the same thing to us? If thou doest well,
we should be accepted.
We're going to be accepted.
That's right. If we don't, we got a problem, don't we?
If we do the wrong thing, that's why he set all these laws in place.
That's right.
Because that's not to control us, because they're good for us.
Amen.
It's good for us. So, and, you know, in chapter 5, it talks about the generations of Adam. And I that kind of jumped off of the page at me, because you can count, you can see all the generations of Adam, and there's 10 of them, and the last one is Noah. Noah starts a new generation.
That's right.
And they all seem to follow in tens.
Amen.
You know, 10 is an important number in God's calendar. 10 is the number Yod, and it's the smallest Hebrew letter in the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And so, you know, and it represents God. So, you know, God does things a lot of times in multiples of 10. Well, look at our math system. It's in 10 multiples of 10, isn't it?
That's
everything
right.
is in 10.
Yep.
So here we now we're there's so many things to talk about, but I think it's important too about the blood, because, you know, Cain didn't bring he didn't bring the right sacrifice. And maybe he didn't bring even the best of his crops, but Abel did, and the Bible says, and, you know, Abel was accepted. You know, he did the right thing. So what happened? There was God told him to, he went to talk to his brother, but, you know, that anger rose up in his heart, and so he murdered a first murder, like you said, Pastor Gene. And it shows us that even God says that the men are evil from the beginning, and he we're getting ready to go into where things were so bad upon the earth that God had to have a man come by the name of Noah, who was righteous in his generation.
Generations.
See, it says in his generation. So, because there are a lot of years went by. I mean, hundreds of years went by. I mean, here Methuselah was pretty old, and
sure was.
Methuselah had to die before the flood came, and his name even means Methuselah's name means, what was it, Pastor Gene? You said it means when he is gone, it will come. It will come. So that means that when Methuselah dies, and he was the oldest man in the ever recorded in the Bible.
969 years, I think he lived.
969 years he lived, and then he died. And then, you know, it says, then here, and Lamech lived 108 years and 2 years and begot a son, and he called his name Noah. Mm-hmm. Noah. So here we have Noah. Noah. Interesting. Noah. And you know, Noah's name means comfort us. And I'm thinking, you got
means rest too, yeah.
Rest. You got a flood coming and you call that comfort?
Yeah.
And all these, and you know, he did things that he obeyed God. There hadn't been water, there hadn't been rain. There was a canopy.
That's right, you know, just a mist.
Right, and so he was on the ground. You know, he didn't know what it was to have a flood. He had never seen a flood. I mean, God told him what was going to happen, but his name actually means comfort. And so he destroyed everything. God even says he repented that he had made man. But you know, God's grace, even way here and up till now, his mercy, all through the Bible, in the Psalms, and all through the Bible, talks about his mercy and his grace. And that brings me to the thought is, and I'm going to want you to share, Pastor Gene, because I know God has a lot in your heart. That brings me to what the Lord has spoken to me about this year. This is the year 5775. And so the five is a hay, and it represents grace. So there's two fives. So I say, the Lord said to me, he says, we have double grace. You have double grace this year. And you will look at 5775 either way, from the front or from the left or from the right, it still reads the same. So, and so the seven is a number for, it's a Zayin, and it's a number for rest. It's a number for the Sabbath. It's a number for warfare. A Zayin is a sword. And so to me, that shows, it reminds me what it says in over in about prayer in Ephesians chapter 6, and the sword of the Spirit. You know, and so here we're going to be reading the Bible. That's going to bring forth the sword of the Spirit. So we have, so the Lord spoke to me. He says the year, and we also have the year of the window, because the five is the hay, which is represented by a window, and also a grace, spirit of grace. So what I'm going to read what I wrote down on this calendar, the year of the window and the whirlwind. We're also in a year of a whirlwind. So, you know, we need to stay in that, in God's peace. If we get outside there, and we're going to get attacked by that whirlwind, the window and the whirlwind, a year to turn up the Holy Ghost prayer, praying in the Spirit. The five is a number of grace, and this is a year of double grace. See, there's two fives. It is also a year for warfare prayer and a year for double rest. So we have double warfare and double rest. Those are the two sevens.
Two fives and two sevens, yeah.
Rest is necessary. We need the strength of the Lord, and keeping the joy of the Lord is a must for our success.
That's right.
The Lord is with us, he is in us, and he works through us. But so if we know what we're coming against, and we know that we need to stay in rest, we need to increase prayer, and we have the favor of the Lord. We have the grace of the Lord this year. So I believe that everything good, and perhaps everything bad, even Pastor Gene, because it's a year of doubles, that we can expect that. So either we're going to expect double blessings, or we could expect double trouble.
That's right.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So now here we are. We're going into Genesis chapter 6 and all these things. But, you know, there was a man who walked with God, and God said he took him. That's a picture right there of the catching away.
That's right. Enoch.
See, in these first few chapters here, we can see so much of the New Testament.
That's right.
See, we're supposed to walk with God, and we're going to be caught away one day.
That's right.
It says Enoch, he walked with God after he begat Methuselah. See, he had to do something first. He had to beget Methuselah, because if God took him before, if God loved him so much, you know, he spent so much time with God, God took him before Methuselah, then we wouldn't have had Enoch, and then we wouldn't have had Lamech, and we wouldn't have had...
That's right.
See, God has an order. It also shows an order. So after he, and what was it say? 365 years. All the days that Enoch were 365 years. And he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him.
Amen.
God took him. after he brought forth his son. Now, all these people had a lot of children, but here we see the generations of Adam. It's only showing us the one that carried on the generation or the lineage to the next one that God would use, because God has a plan for all of our lives. But there's certain people, as we can see in this these first five chapters, there are certain people that God only names the one that's carrying on the call. Say I have 10 children. Okay, we have 10 children. Only one of those 10 might carry on the call.
That's right.
The others are going to live a life. They're going to have, maybe they live a godly life. Maybe they don't live a godly life. But they're not the planned one that will carry on the call to the next one that God has. Because God knows all. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows which ones he's going to use. He knows which ones will do the job. See, he knew that Noah would do the job. And maybe none of those other family members, Lamech's kids, would have done this job. Mm-hmm. Noah did, and God knew that ahead of time.
That's right.
Glory to God. That's so incredible. Noah, he's the tenth, number 10, and his name means comfort us. Mm-hmm. It says, "And the same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." God had already cursed the ground here.
That's right.
Just beginning, just in the Bereshit, in the mm-hmm. beginning, and the ground has already been cursed.
That's right.
Now, there's so much more we could read. We didn't even talk about the blood sacrifice that happened there, which the bloodline goes all the way through the Bible. But now maybe you want to say some things about chapter 6, because there's a lot of things that you've taught in here about chapter 6 talks about.
That's right.
And, God loves numbers. Here we're talking about our calendar. Mm-hmm. This calendar that you will receive, the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet that's on the calendar, it's on the calendar. You'll see that every single letter has a number. Like, for instance, the bet, which would be a B, it has the number 2, and it means a house. It represents Jesus.
Sure.
Jesus must be in our house. All of these have numbers. So God even gives him these dimensions of the ark. See, God loves numbers.
That's right. Sure does.
He sure does. God is good.
So before we can really understand a lot of things in the book of Genesis and even through Exodus and all that, we have to understand God's calendar. And if we don't, when he mentions certain times, a month and a day, well, we won't know what time of the year it is if we don't understand what the Bible shows us in this. But one thing that caught my eye, and I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, I believe, or last week, that God tells us right in the beginning about if we don't obey God, that sin lies at our door, doesn't he?
Wow, that's true.
And if you look at Genesis chapter 4.
He told that to...
Verse 7, he told this to Cain. Listen to this.
Mm-hmm, Cain.
Because Cain knew that God didn't have respect to his offering because he came with the wrong heart.
Verse 7.
He should have brought a blood sacrifice also.
I think God even knows the numbers that he's put in this book.
That's right.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So we see then that in verse 6 of chapter 4, it says, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen?" And listen to what God tells him. "If thou doest well," means if you do the right thing, "shalt thou not be accepted." Well, the right thing to be done with him was to bring what? A blood offering.
Yes.
And because we read up here in verse 3:21, it says, "Also unto his wife did God make coats of skins and clothe them." So we know there was a blood sacrifice. And so here we know that Abel brought out the flock of his, the best of his flock to sacrifice. And of course Cain brought the grain from his field and all that. Well, we know later on that God offered, or honored that as an offering, I should say, the grain. But the thing is, Cain had the wrong heart and attitude. And plus, he should have known his heart, because it took blood to see Adam mm-hmm. and Eve covered those coats from skins. And so he knew that he should have brought a blood sacrifice also. But he did. He got mad, so he didn't do that. And so all he brought was his grain. And God didn't accept that.
He didn't repent.
And so verse 7 told him what God said. "If thou doest well, mm-hmm. shalt thou not be accepted." Okay. And he says, "If thou doest not well, then sin lieth at the door." So anything that God's put in this book that we're supposed to obey, if we don't do that and we do what we want to do, well, a lot of times, what? It's going to be sin. It's going to lie at our door. It's incredible when we think about it. Because the Bible says if we don't do everything by faith, then what? It's sin. We've got to trust God, in other words. And so he said, if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. So God's showing us right in the beginning here who's behind all this. We know it's Satan, but if we disobey God, then what happens? There's a judgment. Now look at this now from this same verse. And unto these, talking to Cain, shall be his desire. All of a sudden, the language changes, okay? Unto thee shall be what? His desire. Whose desire would that be? Satan's desire is wanting to have us disobey and fall into error, and we're going to be in sin if we do that. And then at the end of the verse it says, and thou shalt what? Rule over him. So he gives us a command right in the beginning. Satan's going to be around to try to put us on the side, to do the wrong thing, and where sin would lie at our door. But that's God said right in the beginning to Cain, thou shalt rule over him. We should have control over him. We know the New Testament tells us, what? When Jesus died and rose from the grave, and tells us over there in Luke chapter 10 that we've been given authority and all power over the enemy. We can walk on serpents and scorpions that are under our feet like those snakes that we see. And the serpent here in the beginning here was revealing a lot of these things. It's negative that God wants to have corrected. And so he's telling Cain right at the beginning there, if you do right, you'll be accepted. But if not, sin will lie at your door. And his desire, Satan's desire is what? To cause us to fall into sin. And thou shalt rule over him. We should rule over him. Amen. That's a very important thing in chapter 4 of Genesis.
Now, well, you know, I just thought of another thing which I hadn't thought about when I read this. Is I read this like 5 times last week. You know, he went to really reason with his brother. You can't reason.
Nope.
No, he just needed to be obedient. You know, because it says even explains to us about Abel's sacrifice. You know, as we go on, we'll see that, you know, they had to find an animal without spot or wrinkle. And, of course, we know Jesus was the only perfect sacrifice.
That's right. Thank you,
Lord.
And
so they had all these animal sacrifices up until the time of the change of the priesthood, when Yeshua became the high priest. Amen. He's the high priest.
Yes.
So that he wanted to reason. You know, man's reasoning isn't the answer, you know. Thinking you've got the best flock or the best grain or whatever it is, you know, but there was a sacrifice needed to be made because he had sin in his heart. You know, and the devil doesn't know everything, but the devil must have seen that, you know, Abel was the chosen one to carry on the seed.
Sure.
And you know, there could have been jealousy also in Cain's heart as well. So these two brothers, can you imagine? And such turmoil and such terrible things that you'd think there would be great love in just the first two brothers of the world, but not so. We can see that right from the very beginning, man's heart is evil from the beginning.
That's right. So verse 21 of chapter 3 about the coats of skin that was put on Adam and Eve, that's the beginning of the blood thread all the way through the
blood
Bible.
Blood sacrifice. Right.
Another thing I thought about with this was in chapter 5, Don was talking about Methuselah. You know, we know his name means when he is gone, it will come. And think about it, he lived 969 years. And if you study this out, the year that he died is when the flood came. Isn't that incredible? Just like his name means. So God has a meaning.
God's timing.
For all this thing, he wants us to know that. And so one thing that caught my eye here in chapter 6 was that verse 10 says, and Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Here's our word again in the Hebrew, H-A-M-A-S, Hamas, the violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And we see that word violence again in verse 13 as well.
Mm.
And then, of course, we know that Noah built this ark, and you know, we hear people saying, well, it took him 100 years to build the ark. If you read the book of Jasher, which is one of the Jewish writings, he preached for 100 years. It took 5 years to actually build the ark. Okay, that's incredible to think about that. But I always get thought about the dimensions of this. In verse 15, it shall be, what, 300 cubits. It was 450 feet long. This is not a ship. This is a ship.
Wow.
And the breadth of it, 50 cubits, it was going to be 75 feet wide. And the height of it was 30 cubits, which is 45 feet. That was a huge vessel that they went into. And the other thing that caught my eye over here is when we see in chapter, well, that's I better not go, that's for next week.
We do go up to chapter 11.
Yeah, I was going to look at something here in
go up to chapter 11,
in verse
32.
7 with you to show you something here. He told Noah he's going to establish his covenant with him and all that. But what we're going to do, this is in chapter 7 of Genesis. Remember, he had to separate all the clean animals from the unclean and bring those all in, okay?
Yes.
And verse 6 says, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. Here's our 6, man's number. Mm-hmm. Now, verse 7 says, and Noah went in, what, into the ark, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. So they went in, and then verse 10 says, and it came to pass after 7 days. They were in the ark 7 days. Think about this now. 7 days before the waters and the flood came upon the earth. This is a pattern for you and I to know that we're going to be in a heavenly realm mm-hmm. with the Lord for 7 years before all this, before he comes back and establishes his kingdom. What happened after the flood? Noah and his family came out, and God started something new. He put a rainbow in the sky. He said, this is going to be a testimony of me that I'll never destroy the earth again by water. And so here's the 7 days that he was tucked away in that ark waiting for the flood to come.
7 days.
And so we're going to be tucked away for 7 years. And then what's going to happen at the end? Armageddon's going to come, and then God's going to establish his kingdom. So this is incredible when we think about this. And so we got all these pictures to look at and understand that God's given us a pattern to look at for the things in the future. Amen. And he even tells us when this began. In verse 11 of this chapter, it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, we just read that in verse 6, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, this is the month of Heshvan, mm-hmm. the same day where all the fountains of the great deep
that's the month we're in now.
Broke up and the windows of heaven were open. Okay. Now the key thing that we have to understand about the calendar, and we have to understand this. We mentioned this a lot on the radio, but I'm sure somebody's listening now for the first time. From Genesis 1 to Exodus 12, God had what I call a civil calendar with Israel. It started in the month of Tishri, which is in the fall, ran 12 months, and it was a cyclic thing, went around every year. Okay?
That's when Rosh Hashanah is.
That's when Rosh Hashanah is when it started. And they still honor that on the civil calendar, what, their new year. Okay, they just went through this a few days ago. So that's that. But then when we get to Exodus chapter 12, then God changes the number on the month, not the season. He changed the number, and he made the month of Nisan, what, the first month, and then Tishri became, what, the seventh month. If we don't understand, that's why this book I wrote, the first few lessons, couple lessons, is referring a lot about the calendar so we can understand this. So all these things we're talking about right here, these dates and all, are all on the civil calendar, okay?
So we basically rotated it 6 months.
Well, actually, almost seven. Yeah, it was seven. You go from Nisan to Tishri, it's what, 7 months, okay? All right? Now, another thing people have a question about here in chapter 7.
Well, he's going to finish it in the fall, like
that's
right now.
That's right. That's right. Jesus, when he came to this earth, when did he die? It was in what? In the spring, wasn't
Passover.
It?
Passover.
And it was in what? It was called the early rain is when he came, okay? It was at Passover because the number on the calendar had been changed, okay? And then we know that he's going to come back when? In the month of Tishri, according to the Bible, at the end
in
of
the fall.
In the fall. And all this, he's got to fulfill both calendars, the civil calendar and also the spiritual calendar. Now, verse 24.
To me, it's like he's going to complete the circle.
He sure will. Verse 24 even tells us here in chapter 7, after the waters prevailed upon the earth, 150 days. Well, that tells you what kind of a calendar they were
five
on.
5 months.
It was 5 months, 30 days, and each month is what? 150 days. So we see they're on what? On a lunar calendar that God put in place. But this is also known and is revealed here to be the civil calendar. Now, for time's sake, I want to show you one thing here. Now, the flood opened up and the springs, you know, released and the water came out and the flood came and the ark was lifted up off the earth, and it tells us over here in chapter 7, verse 20, that it was 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. 22 feet over the top of the highest mountain.
The highest
22
mountain.
Feet over Mount Everest, I guess, you know.
That's why there's shells on the top of mountains.
That's right, because of the flood. And so we go on here then, and it tells you, we get into chapter 8, and it says that God remembered Noah, and he did, okay. And the fountains of the deep opened up and all that. And verse 3 says, and the waters returned from off the earth continually. And mm-hmm. after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. Okay, now listen to this. And this is interesting. This is a prophetic word for us to know today. And the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. Now let's think about this for a moment. If you just, what we're talking about this calendar, we're on a civil calendar, okay? So it says it was the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month. Well, the seventh month on the civil calendar was what? Was Nisan, okay? Okay. Now
that's in the spring.
It's after Exodus 12, it became the first month. But here it's what's the seventh month. So it's in the spring. This is the seventh. This is the seventh month on the 17th day of the month. If you look at this real close with what we've done with our book, and all you'll find out, this is the exact day when the ark rested in the mountains of Ararat. that it happened on the seventh month, the 17th day. This was the 17th day of Nisan, the day that Yeshua came out of his grave at his resurrection. Isn't that incredible? Exact same day. So this day of that...
But thousands of years later.
That's right. Thousands of years later. So this day is known as Nisan, but at this time it's also called Abib, the same month, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the day of Yeshua's resurrection. This is incredible. Think about this. Amen?
It's awesome.
It's just incredible. And so we see all these wonderful things in here, what God did with Noah and his family and all that. And I like chapter 9, verse 13. It says, he says, I do set my bow in the cloud, Jesus. God told Noah and his family, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. Isn't it incredible? Amen. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow, the rainbow, in other words, shall be seen in the cloud. You know, the homosexuals have perverted that now. They use a rainbow. Well, that's God's rainbow. And I mentioned this one time on the radio. One time I was praying and I asked God, why do we only see half the rainbow if we get a full rainbow, you know, across our sky? He says, well, the other half's in heaven. We'll see it one day.
Right, right.
And he says in verse 15, I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. Isn't that incredible? And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant, which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. So a token is what? What would you call a token? Token. What would you call it? Huh? It's a symbol or a pattern of something, right? It's a token. Amen? Mm-hmm. So we have so much in this book to look at, but if we don't understand our calendars, we can get confused with all this, and we don't want that to happen, do we? Amen?
And God told him the same thing he told Adam and Eve, be fruitful, in verse 1, chapter 9. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply replenish the earth. So that's just right there, God's mercy. You know, he's here, he's good. He always gives us another chance. Thinking about Numbers, Pastor Gene, I was thinking about this over here. It says, you know, Lamech lived, when he died, he was 777 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Three sevens. And I was just wondering,
of course, his name means destroyer, too.
Yeah, and so, you know, sevens are very important, especially
yes,
when you have them we have double seven this year and we have double fives. But this here, then we have three sevens here. And a number three times seven is 21. That's a number, I believe, for judgment. So it's interesting here how we have this. You know, he also died before the flood.
That's right.
So here we have 777, and we think, well, what you said about Methuselah's name, that, you know, the flood came the next day or the next week. No,
the next
it was
year.
Several hundred.
Yeah.
There was quite a while,
because
you look at the ages of these people, and you figure these ages out. You know, if you look at it, it tells you exactly how when they were born and when they died. You know exactly how old they were.
Yeah, could have been a lot of years
when
later.
When they had the I would call the child that was chosen to carry on the generation, here there's a lot of years, but here he was 777, and he died. Wow. So, and I wonder about that sometimes, but, you know, God knows. Someday when I'm reading this, maybe it'll be next year when I read this. Maybe it'll be, you know, tomorrow. Maybe it'll be today that God might reveal to me why 777. Of course, I know what seven means, and I know that, you know, God brought a sword, and he brought destruction. And, you know, God, he's in control of the storms, the lightning, it says, read that in Psalms, read it in the book of Job. You know, God is in control of everything.
But I think about his name, you know, he lived to be 969 years. Think about
Methuselah.
How many people was born with Methuselah, all those years and all, and then the year that he died is when the flood came.
And he had lots of children.
He
probably
sure
had
did.
Hundreds of children during those years.
And all the peoples mentioned before this, you know, they had all these
and
children.
And what else I think is interesting, you know, I know who my mother was and my grandmother, but that's it. I don't know any of the other people, but these people all knew each other.
Yeah, they did.
Because they lived to be
so old.
800, sure. 900, 700 years. They all knew each other. I wonder how many of them sat at Adam's knee, or Adam sat and talked to, and Eve talked to them about what happened, what it was like in the garden.
That's right.
What was it like? How long were they in that garden? Were they even in there a year? I don't know. The Bible doesn't really tell us how long they were in there. But what was it like in the garden? Well, we think about what's it like in heaven. Well, so I believe that garden was like a picture of what the perfect is.
That's right.
Because everything was perfect in that garden.
Hallelujah.
Until they decided to do the wrong thing. Everything was perfect. So, you know, God wants to take us back to the garden. The garden, and we're going to be in heaven one day. You know, we know this isn't our final destination. If we're a Christian, we have another home.
That's
we're
right.
Not of the kingdom of the United States or the kingdom of this world. We're the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And I keep seeing all through all this about the animals. They brought certain animals into the ark after their kind. The food was after their kind.
Everything.
And we got all these GMOs with food and stuff today.
It's
ruined stuff and all that.
The wrong kind.
The wrong kind. And I see here, I just saw this in Genesis 6:21, and Noah was told to take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. The food will last for 150 days. Isn't that incredible?
Food for them.
And verse 20 says, of fowls after their kind, and of the cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come into thee to keep them alive. So, see, we pervert a lot of things that God's put in place. So even Noah had to get the food to put on the ark that would last for the 150 days. God knew how long it was going to last, amen, so he told him how to do all this. So it's incredible when we think about what we see here in the very beginning. And there's so much more in this. If you read this and ask God to give you a prophetic mind,
that's right,
you'll see more and more things every time you read this, and you'll just say, Lord, what an amazing book that we have called the Holy Bible to show us these wonderful things. And it's amazing when we think about what we can see on all this, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we know that Noah had these three sons. He had three sons, right?
And that's
right. When the flood was over and the ark rested in the mountains of Ararat, there was eight people that came out of that ark plus all the animals. You know, Noah and his wife, his three sons and their wives. And and God started all over again. Well, why would he be starting all over again? Let's go back. We vaguely mentioned this last week, but it's in chapter 6 here that we part at the tail end of what we read last week. Listen to this. Verse 2 says, verse 1, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth,
that's right,
and daughters were born of them, that the sons of God, now you can study this out, the angels were called sons of God over in Job in the beginning when they came before God, okay?
That's
so
right.
The sons of God, or the angels, saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all of which they chose, amen? So these were the fallen angels.
This is not the same kind.
Nope,
not the two different kinds.
Two different kinds, that's right. And so we see
angelic kinds and humans.
That's right.
Mated.
And so, that's right. And they came down and they cohabitated with women, but they chose themselves wives. Now verse 3 says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Now God's changing. See, now they're not going to live to be 900 years
anymore.
No, 120.
And then verse 4 says, there were giants in the earth in those days. Well, where did the giants come from? From this ungodly mixture of the fallen angels and choosing women on the earth to have a relationship with them and bring children into the earth, and they were giants.
They created giants.
They were called Nephilim. In those days, it says giants in the earth in those days, and also what? After, remember, David had to deal with five of them.
Yes.
He killed Goliath, and his men took care of the other four. When the sons of God, it says, came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. These were giants that came into the land. This is why God had to destroy the earth and wipe everybody out, because his genome they put in human beings, their DNA and all, it was all been modified.
He didn't create giants to rule the earth. He created man. He made
That's
Adam
right.
and Eve. They were not giants. And so we even see, even when Joshua and Caleb and those men went in to spy out the land, that we only had two that came back with a good report, because they were scared to death because of those giants that they saw.
That's
you
right.
know, so, but they didn't really believe, except for those two, Caleb and Joshua, they believed that they could take the land. You
That's
know,
right.
Even Caleb says, if you read it in Joshua, he says, he wanted, give me the mountain. He wanted the hard part, you know. So he was a warrior. He had a warrior spirit, and he wasn't afraid. And he wasn't young. He was 80 years old, right, Pastor?
That's right.
They both were around, in their 80s. And so those two men were the only two out of the group that went in that came back with a good report.
That's right. I want to show something. We got about almost 4 minutes. If you go to the book of Jude now in the New Testament, mm-hmm. let's see what God says, what I was just reading about here. Verse 4, there's only one chapter in Jude. Says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Mm-hmm. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance. Okay, listen to this now. Jude says, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Now listen to this. And the angels which kept not their first estate, mm-hmm. but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Mm. So he was comparing this with some of the things that people were doing back in this day, when Jude was on the earth. So he's reminding us of what happened in the beginning. Amen. When those angels, this is important, verse 8, and the angels which kept not their first estate, they were, Satan deceived all of them, pulled them out, he followed one third of them. But the book of Jude tells us there was 200 angels that came down to cohabitate with these women and brought all this into the world. And he says, but they left their own habitation and hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, the day of the Lord. Amen. They went after strange flesh. That's how the giants came in the land. So God's trying to show us some incredible things just in the book of Genesis. Way back then, just think about it. We've gone almost 6,000 years since Adam was on the earth, and these things are still apropos and alive and active today if we'll look at them and understand what God's telling us. He's put this all in place to teach us and show us about the Messiah, but also that we must what? Obey
His
commandments. His and if
word.
We don't, as we read, sin lieth at your door and the enemy wants you to stay
That's
in that
right.
place. But we bind that in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Wow.
We're out of time.
Yes, so if you'd like to have this information about the Torah portions for this year, remember we need to be in the book of Genesis. Takes us back to the beginning.
Beersheba.
Amen. Beersheba. So this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, and we're just blessed to be here every Saturday. Also, you can listen to us on the internet. That would be WCNO.com. You can go back and listen to this program again. Just go to WCNO and go to their programming and look for Saturday and look for Pastor Gene Hilton at 12 noon. And there's a lot of programs you can listen to that we have taught on before. Well, anyways, if you would like to have a copy of the calendar for this month of November, and also the Torah portion, we'd be glad to send that to you.
Amen.
If you'd like to read it for the Bible Marathon, the Bible Marathon starts November 19th and goes through the 23rd. So please give us a call. We'd love to have you come down to Stuart and read and just declare the Word of God. We're declaring the Word of God from the beginning to the end. And I'm going to give our phone number. We also have services here in Stuart. You can call us and we'd let you know when they are and what time they are and where we're located. Our phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that, area code 772-285-7007.
So another beginning, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, amen.
Amen. The Word
so as we close this week, we're honored to be here with you because we want to raise the standard of the body of Christ. And so we tell you every week as we look up, your redemption draws nigh. What do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.